Do you like the Star Wars? Well, we do too. Myself and, of course, Mr. Eddie Medina.
Hello, everybody.
And not only do we like the Star Wars, there are certain aspects of the Star Wars that we can't get enough of to the point where they're worthy of a show by themselves. And in this particular case, this exploration of one corner of the Star Wars galaxy is brought to us courtesy of a conversation that a friend of the show and big friend of the Jedi Cult Universe, Hey Kids Comics' own Andrew Farmer, who joins us as a guest.
Hello!
That's in my attention.
That's some energy.
Yes, indeed. But watch out.
Awesome. It's all an act, I think.
It really is. I'm exhausted. I like the fact that I'm a friend of the Jedi Cult Universe. I'm like the nemesis. I'm like the snaggletooth hunchback of the Jedi Cult Universe.
we keep Andy down in the coal cave, and occasionally we'll bring him up to the light of day.
That's right.
Y'all really should make the snaggletooth hunchback your little mascot for the show for Hey Kids Comics.
We probably should. I've forgotten his name now, which is a terrible thing because he was so important.
He was for one episode of our show. He was so important.
Y'all sneak him in from time to time. I've heard him.
Oh, well, that's just because I can't stop obsessing.
Nobody can get enough of him. That's why. Hey, Andy, you would know this reading the Hush storyline. Was he the one that was in the Hush storyline that you find out betrayed Bruce Wayne? Is that the same character?
It's not the same character, I don't think.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
I think the Hunchback Snaggletooth would have a harder time portraying Bruce Wayne than Alfred did on the 60s TV series. But before the Rancor Pit turns into Hey Kids Comics.
Before it turns into Hey Kids Star Wars.
Right.
Well, Andy, tell us a little tale. Spin us a yarn about how we're getting to the point where we have titled this, and I guess I should preface this really quickly with Cooler Than Captain Kirk, the title of this episode, for those who tuned in a fit of peaked rage because we dared to invoke such a thing. That's actually a quote from one of the best movies to explore fandom in the world.
Of all time. Okay.
Of all time ever, which is, of course, Free Enterprise.
See Free Enterprise. Shizor.
Yeah, or Shizor. That's also, you also learn how to pronounce Shizor.
You learn what a Trixie is. You learn how to pronounce Shizor. You live. You laugh. You learn. You love.
It's like one of those PSAs that just for fandom.
That's right.
And when you see the scene from which this line, this quote is taken, then you can relax that rage that you feel now, and you can embrace this show, which is all about Han Solo.
Which, you know, you can relax it all you want. Doesn't make it any less true.
Right. I'm going to have to go with you there. At extreme personal risk, given the fact that I have married a Trekkie.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh.
So, now that I've done the preamble, or the preamble ramble, Andy, how did you inspire us to do a show all about Captain Solo?
Well, here's the thing is, my best friend, Brittany Wrench, if she's listening, hi, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
She has these wonderful, she's a huge Star Wars fan, huge. And she has all these wonderful insights about Star Wars that she'll just bring up periodically. I'll bring up a few later, at different points, not necessarily tonight. But one of the ones she brought up, and we were just sitting there talking about Star Wars, is she said,
as everyone should, I want to point that out.
There's a large portion of my day that's dedicated to talking about A, Batman, and B, Star Wars, and I'm not kidding. That's like 6 hours of my day.
But I was like, welcome to my life.
She asked a really interesting question, as she often does. She said, do you think, or she phrased it as, I don't think that Han Solo has a lot of love for the Rebellion. She was like, do you think that Han Solo really, really has thrown in, essentially, with the Rebellion? you know, or why is he doing what he's doing? And we had this conversation. This conversation then translated to Cole
and I. Are you broaching the question, or is it just a Princess Leia booty call?
Exactly. Is it? But here's the thing, right? Cole and I had a long discussion about this on my drive home that night, mm-hmm. and there are you can quantify either side of that line. You know, if you're looking at a bell curve, it really mirrors itself. So what Cole and I discussed was, yeah, you know what? In the first one, he really didn't. The first one was all about money, right, Cole?
Oh, absolutely. And
well, by first one, I should preface this by saying the A New Hope.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, come on, when you have Jabba the Hutt right on your tail, you know, of course, you know, you're in it for the money. You just wanted to pay him off and, you know,
right.
See better days.
Yeah, but he gets thrown in.
But also,
this...
you know, the... I think we brought it up on the May the Force Be With You Always that Han Solo starts out as like he's just a hired hand. He's literally just like this guy, you know? No,
he's a glorified taxi at that point.
Yeah, exactly. He is his contract labor.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, taxi. You know, of course he has no great vested interest in the rebellion. He's just picked up a fare.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like they went to Mos Eisley and went, oh, thank God, Han Solo, we're so happy to see you. You know, he had to sell himself to get the job. He had to get the gig. He had to talk about how fast his ship was. And then he was like, man, well, it's a little old. Are you sure it's not fast enough for you, you old son of a... You know, it's like...
Yeah.
he had to sell the idea of the Millennium Falcon. And he wasn't even selling himself. He wasn't even selling his prowess. He was selling his ship's prowess at that point. You know, that was the first one. Like, give me money. I need to get out of here. First of all, I need to get out of here. Because I don't leave this place right now, probably going to die because I don't have any money. Second of all,
or I'm going to run out of money by having to pay the bartender for all the dead bodies that are piling up from piss poor bounty hunters that are going to be sent after me.
Right, because you don't. Because again, you don't. You know, Han Solo at the time, at least, was of the mind of, you know. You send one of mine to the hospital. I'm sending one of yours to the morgue, to quote the Untouchables. Like, he isn't messing around. He shot first.
Because earlier, it's little known. Earlier, Greedo had actually broken Chewbacca's toe.
There was a scene with Greedo. Well, it was IG-88. Greedo, Boba Fett. Boba Fett had a baseball bat. He was walking around the table.
Yeah,
and telling the story about snitches, and then. And then right in the back of what's his name, Dengar? What's his name?
Dengar?
Yeah, right in the back of his head. Just
oh, that's
wham.
Why he had his head all bandaged up.
Right, see? Full circle.
Good night. Okay, I got to ask, Andy, do you come up with this stuff just on the top of your head?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Yeah. What the heck? I thought Cole was bad. I should be used to this, listening to y'all shows every
Dude,
week.
You
but still,
super, you were on Super just, Sports
to,
Balls.
Just to hear it unfold in front of me, you know, live, it's just amazing.
73 episodes of Kids Comics, and you're just catching on.
And not counting USG, yeah, true.
Well, and this will come up later, but I had to defend this. I have more of a place for this conversation. Now, Cole and I do a weekly, and Eddie is on probably more than he wants to be because we rope him in at the last minute, but a weekly comic book podcast for an hour every week. Uh-huh. This is Cole and I do this. We sit down to do this. I am more comfortable having a conversation about Star Wars than I am having a conversation about any comic books because I was trying to explain this to Cole. I went out Sunday and got my first Star Wars tattoo. And Cole was saying, oh, well, I figured you would get, or Catherine, one of the two, you would get Green Lantern before you got Star Wars. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, my first movie memory of all time, one of my first memories of all time, was the Millennium Falcon flying over at the beginning of Empire. Keep in mind, I'm 36, so I was really young when that came out. The first movie I ever went to, I was born in August. I was born August 9th, 1977. The first movie I ever went to as a newborn baby was New Hope with my dad.
You actually got to annoy a movie audience, a Star Wars audience, in okay. your past.
He has me beat, Cole, because as I've explained on the past episodes, my first experience was also A New Hope. Like, literally, the first movie I ever got to see was New Hope. I was at least four to where I could at least...
Oh, I had no idea what was going on.
But you got me beat. You've got me beat.
So I am way more comfortable. Well, not way more. I'm fully comfortable talking about comic books, but I am equally, if not way exponentially more comfortable talking about Star Wars. Like,
Let me jump. Let me jump in for a second, because, again, I got to know Andy personally later on down the road, like, at, you know, briefly at AllCom, but mostly over the Skype. But listening to Andy on all these past shows, USG, Amazing Comic Cast, what have you, I built up this image that this guy was, like, all about Green Lantern. And then there was an episode of USG where
That's what he wanted you to think.
Yeah. So then they do an episode of USG where they talk about their, like, I guess y'all's first geek loves, or your main geek love, and Andy busted out with Star Wars. I was like, wait a second, what?
Yo, yeah.
What? It's like, just to hear you go on about your love for Star Wars, I was like, oh my gosh, I thought I knew this guy.
I can bring some Star Wars thunder down, which is what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
So the idea was, in A New Hope, he was a glorified taxi. He was Ice Road Truckers for some young Jedi, is what he was. He's like, I'll get you out of here. It's going to cost you, and you might have to fit into this little hole, but we'll do it. And then by the time Empire comes around, he's begrudgingly become friends with these people and started to develop feelings at least by the beginning.
It's almost like it's not quite the right term, but it's something akin to the Helsinki syndrome.
Right.
Because, he's thrown in with these people. He has no love for their cause. He has no part in their cause. But he has a big vested interest in saving his hide.
Uh-huh.
And that is now coming in conflict with a vested interest in helping his now friends, because if you know Han Solo, up until this point, I would say he's probably a little socially awkward. He's got one big furry friend, and then everybody wants to kill him. That's pretty much like his eHarmony profile,
I think,
right?
You know, and his only other friend, I think he has like a circle of friends that he sees from time to time. It's like when Jules has to call Quentin Tarantino up, whose name escapes me at the moment, you know, because he hasn't got any other partners in 818. I just see, like, Lando's kind of like the guy, you know, like if Han had a body in the back of the Falcon.
Right, he was the Winston Wolf.
He would call Lando up. So, you know, just call your people, get this taken care of, because I'm trying to run a city here.
It's right. Yeah. I got Ugnaughts up to my Nugnaughts. I want that on a shirt.
I was going to say that. That's a quote for a shirt right there.
I want Ugnaughts up to my Nugnaughts.
We have our first quote.
That's going to be the first Rancor Pit shirt right there.
So, he's now got this conflicted vested interest in A, saving his own hide, and B, helping his friends.
You can tell he's torn, because when he's there on the Rebel base, he's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I got you guys this far. I don't know why I did, because there's plenty of ships, obviously.
Right.
I could have just dropped you off, but I came along because I wanted the skiing. And he's stuck because, General Ryken says it's not safe. So he hangs out. He does a little footwork.
Really?
Probably.
I disagree.
He's picking up some odd jobs while he's there.
Because Han Solo is not the type of guy that's going to listen to anybody tell him that something is not safe. Matter of fact, Han Solo is the type of guy that runs headlong into not safe. So
that's why you have that great indication that there's this turn in his personality. Because normally he would have just, you know, seen how far he could get the end of his boot up Riken's tail and then had it on out.
Right. He would have found a way to make money off of this.
You know, he says it's not safe, so I'll tell you what, I'll help you guys out by putting markers up with Luke.
Right. He's now all of a sudden he has friends. And the other part of it is he wants to be asked to stay. Like, it's obvious, I don't think that...
Oh, yeah.
When you watch, like he just wants someone to tell him that they need his help and to stay. You know, and yeah. Not as a general, obviously. Not as a leader, not as somebody who can help them in the fight. But as a friend, as a possible love interest. You know, like with Leia.
Yeah.
when he's in the tunnels of Hoth. And she's like, well, you would be a great asset to the... She's like, you know what? Kiss my ass. I don't want you to... I want you to tell me to stay because I'm pretty to look at, and I'm going to end up hiding in a fridge during a nuclear explosion. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear...
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to hear, you know, that I'm really good with tactics and I can fly a ship good. Shut up. That's not what he wants to hear.
I know that.
Right, exactly. Like, I got you here. Through some weird, weird stuff. All right. But think about how weird.
Tell me something I didn't know for sure, but I was kind of hoping.
Right. Like, think about how weird everything is for him, though. Because, like, how long has it been since Jedi? Not the movie Jedi, but since the existence that in a really large scale form of Jedi, like the Jedi Council.
I mean, you could argue, given the timeline, that he was a little kid when the Jedi were still active.
Right.
And the problem is that you run into when you start to retrofit an argument like that, the impression I got watching A New Hope was that the age of the Jedi was a long time ago.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And that probably Luke's dad was a bit of a geezer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everything sort of turned on its ear when you get to the prequels, and it's like, okay, we've had 1,000 generations of the Jedi Knight. Presumably we've had... you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years of the Republic. Mm-hmm. The Empire comes hoving into view, and apparently it lasts about 4 decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just long enough for people to get all up in that. Crappy Empire. When you get right down to it, the Empire sucked.
Yeah, it did. They were like the North Korea of galactic superstates.
That doesn't explain all of the propaganda with Emperor Palpatine as glorious leader.
But so now all of a sudden he's got this. But I was saying how weird it would be to be Han Solo, and all of a sudden you got this kid that's basically just wearing a giant mummy body diaper show up out of nowhere, and this old guy, you know, that looks like he's going to be the next guy that sits down with Chris Hansen on To Catch a Predator show up, and. And they show up in your townie bar, and all of a sudden, oh, blank, here's a lightsaber. Like, oh, okay. And then there's, like, people getting choked out by the Force, and if you strike me down now, it has to be so bizarre for him to see all that. And
well, yeah, at first, he's like, the first time he sees the, you know, Luke whips out his lightsaber, and he's playing it so cool. Because, you know, he has literally seen everything.
Right. Yeah.
And so, like, it's probably not the first lightsaber he's ever seen, but it's the first time anybody's bothered to do something with it. They're like, ooh, get drunk, I got a lightsaber, and they, like, cut their friend's ear off. This is the first time he's seen someone actually actively trying to emulate the Jedi, which is probably largely illegal.
Then
that would appeal to Han as well, because, I mean, you know, he's a criminal, quite frankly.
How many people are running around force-choking things and ripping things off wall with the, you know, with the Force? And then Han just is taking it all in stride. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
But
yeah, that's like the third most interesting thing I've seen today.
But by the end of Empire, you got three things. You've got a solid love interest for Han to stick around. You've got a solid base for friends, and you done pissed him off.
Yes,
you know, like you know, by the time he is in the transition between the second and the third movies, or the fifth and the sixth movie, and he comes out of Carbonite, he is 100% prime time rebel scum. Like, oh, there is no doubt, you froze that guy in Carbonite.
There's a point where you crossed the line,
right? And you don't cross the line with Han Solo.
Yeah.
He'll put on some weird camouflage and zip around the moon. And,
he's like the Jack Reacher of sci-fi. Because, you know, up to a point, he's willing to let you get away with a lot of stuff. as long as you're not messing with his stuff.
Exactly. But you don't like him when cross people touch his things.
Then he's all in. And he is in to the bitter end.
Exactly. Like, okay, you froze him in carbonite. You took him out into the middle of the desert. You gave him to his arch nemesis. And let him hang you on the wall like a trophy. And then all of a sudden, you know, your friends show up. Your friends whom, yeah, you know what? They better show up after the whole Death Star thing. They better show up and save your ass. So they show up, save him, and the first thing he does, like, Han, or he's like, Chewie, Leia, I can't see. Where are my eyes? I'm going to shoot the Emperor in the face. Like, that was his next thought.
As soon as I get my peepers back.
It's right.
It's on.
I'm working my way up the food chain. It's like, the first stormtrooper I see, straight up to the Emperor.
He's like, listen, Leia, I love you, and Luke's your brother, and that's awesome. That's not what I'm focused on right now. It became old boy, the Star Wars movie at that point.
Oh my gosh, what a transition. We go for the way you describe it, Andy. So basically, New Hope, he's driving Miss Daisy.
Right.
By the second one, that's he's placed, placing markers on Hoth. So then we got him being Fred, what's his name, from Tremors. You know, they're doing the odd jobs around.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah,
because he wants to stay close.
What's the Tremors town called? Perfection, I think? Yeah, so they're doing odd jobs around Perfection. That's Han Solo and Empire. So then you bring it to this where he's, like, Death Wish 3 all of a sudden, he's going and tracking down everybody who's done him wrong.
Yeah, that's like Kill Bill the second he's out of the picture.
Dude, that's the first thing I would do. I would strap up like the Punisher, and I would head to the new... that's exactly what I would do. Like,
I'm loving this. We've invoked the Punisher.
if you freeze me in carbonite, for how long was he frozen? Like, it was...
It's difficult to say, but I think it was on the order of years.
Yeah, like... At least, let's say it's a year. Let's say it's 365 days of you being frozen in carbonite and being stared at by Jabba, while Jabba has your woman, essentially, your the love of your life in a metal bikini chained to him with Salacious Crumb throwing frog legs at her, saying, like making it rain, like a strip club. Wouldn't the first thing you do when you get out, put on the Rambo bandana and go after Brian Dennehy? Wouldn't that be the first thing that you did?
That would absolutely.
First thing that I did.
But the thing is, what happens is that Han is ready to do all of that, and then the rebels haul off and put stars in his eyes by offering him a generalship.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that was a means to an end for him? Like, yeah, I'll take your generalship. Where are we going? Oh, the moon of Endor? What's there? Oh, there's a good chance that Vader and the Emperor will show up. Yeah, that's where
I'm
going.
Yeah, I'm on board for that. And then Luke has to go upstairs to the Death Star and steal his thunder.
Well, that's what all Luke ever did, was steal Han Solo's thunder.
But it does offer Han Solo the opportunity for some righteous indignation and just going out there. You don't get the coverage of them slaughtering stormtroopers wholesale,
just countless.
I think Robot Chicken hit the nail on the head when they had them capture the Imperials, who thought that they were going to capture the rebels, and then they're forcing them to dig their own graves with their helmets,
right?
That I could see happening after the Empire crossed the line. If you're wearing the cog, you're a dead man.
That's right.
It's a marker.
It is like he's collecting ears.
Like Tombstone, if you're wearing a red bandana, you're dead.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's down on the forest moon of Endor collecting ears, is what he's doing.
Right. And then there's coverage of him like tossed him to hungry Ewoks.
It's essentially he's working on becoming Brando from Apocalypse Now down there. If he wasn't reined in by Leia, that's what would have happened.
I think this is actually some of Episode 7, because I know Harrison Ford's coming back, and you're going to like see some Luke and Admiral Ackbar go cruising up some river on Endor.
Oh my god!
And then they find, and then like the Ewoks come and shoot arrows at him at one point, and then they get down to the mouth of the river and they find Han, in some sort of place like 100 stormtrooper helmets on sticks.
Exactly.
Like one falls over, and you see that there's an impaled skull inside because the rotted head had, long since disintegrated. And then, they find Han there. The horror.
He's got the beard, and he's sitting on the other side of like some mosquito netting, and Luke sits down next to him. They sent me to find you, assassin.
But unlike Apocalypse, now they actually bring him back.
Right, yeah. Right.
He's not beheaded or anything.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen Apocalypse Now. But
they say my methods are unsound.
If Episode 7 opened with that, it would make it the greatest
I think that's why they're ditching the Expanded Universe, so they could do this very story. They just had their spies waiting to find out what
he's
going to say.
Here's the way I think it's going to go down. He's got a cabin in Hoth, living by himself, a grizzled old man. They all of a sudden, a helicopter. A helicopter lands outside, and a guy in like a military uniform gets out and comes inside, like Luke went rogue. We need you to hunt him. And then Tommy Lee Jones goes, I'm too old to hunt. And he's got a wolf. And he's like, but you're the only one. You trained him. And he's like, okay. And then he gets in the helicopter and flies out and has to make his own knife and fight him. And then he finds him in town.
Yeah. And you get a grizzled Admiral Akbar going from site to site collecting the old gang.
Uh-huh.
On.
We gotta go on one more ride.
That's right.
China Grove!
Shut up. I'm tired of your gurgling.
I'm an old man.
Carry on my wayward son. They're all in the Millennium Falcon, all old. Listening to Kansas.
Oh my gosh.
Ewoks don't surf.
And of course, Cole, you would have to invoke Akbar as many times as you can.
Naturally, every chance I get. I see that happening. I think we have the recipe for, if not Episode 7, it needs to be one of those spinoff films, you know?
Here's the thing about the solo film. Right. Here's the thing about that's how they bring him back. They can cut that part out. You know, that can be its own solo film. 7 can be that can jump right back into continuity, but something happens in that intervening like 7 years between Jedi.
Yeah, they just do like the Han Solo movie where they explain what it was that brought him to the point you see him in Episode 7.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Fill that gap.
They come and find his secret hidden base with all of his followers, his little cult, and there's like the pelts of dead Hutts everywhere.
Right. The thing I love about Han Solo, probably more than anything, is George Lucas obviously borrowed very heavily, and I don't fault him for this, but he borrowed very heavily from not only, you know, your Grecian, your Roman literature and your mythology, and then on up through. But he also, I mean, he basically did a Kurosawa ripoff. And that's fine.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely fine, because Han Solo really is the Yojimbo of Star Wars.
Exactly. And if you're not familiar with Yojimbo and Sanjuro, which are two incredible films, which, when you watch them, you will see a lot of Star Wars influence, or what influenced Star Wars. And one thing a lot of people don't notice is in Sanjuro, speaking of Han Solo, the smuggling, the chambers, you know, underneath the halls in the Falcon, where everybody comes popping up, there's a scene in Sanjuro where these conspirators that he's hiding are all under the planks of the floor in this temple.
Right.
And they all come popping back out once the danger's passed, one or two or three at a time. And the scene plays very much like when everybody's emerging, especially when you have Chewie kind of pop up at the end as the little bit of comic relief. It is literally right out of that movie.
Yeah. But he's Ronin. He comes into this thing as Ronin, as a masterless samurai, as a wayward drifter with this this sense of loyalty and this huge, you know, heart and duty to do right. And he just has no focus. He has no foci to put that on. So he's been, you know, smuggling and doing things like that. He was never an assassin. He never was a bounty hunter. He kept it in the white side of the gray, not the black side. But as the story progresses, he becomes more and more the samurai and less the ronin, which is very Kurosawa. And I absolutely love that. I also love the fact that he is the most under-recognized Joseph Campbell hero's journey character in Star Wars.
Well, exactly. What you have with Han, with Luke, you have the hero's journey from the goofy, awkward, whiny-ass little wimp with dreams of a great future, if only. And then, you know, the progression, the mm-hmm. building, the mentoring, the montage, the whole nine yards that pump you up to hero status.
Yeah.
With Han Solo, you get the anti-hero's journey, which is a lot less common.
Yeah.
It's not the greatly recognized, it wasn't really as embraced in the classics. It's no less a hero's journey, but it's a different path.
Exactly.
And if you break it down into the three acts, which Star Wars does for us very well, it's three acts within three acts within three acts. You get the point where he starts, and then you get the point where, you know, all of the pieces of that, you know, he goes to the Oracle and he gets his mission to achieve greatness, and then he has to go on that journey, and then the trials start, and he has to take his trials, where basically Ben Kenobi is the Oracle, if you want to consider it that. He gets there really quick, but his trials are long.
Absolutely, and I think that's a good point to bring Ben up as the Oracle, because he serves as an Oracle both for Luke and Han, Luke specifically and directly, but Han in a very indirect way, and you could even go so far as to suggest that the choice of Han Solo was less, Bo Scheck over there recommended him.
Right.
That it was, there was a little bit of the Force at work there too.
Yeah.
There was some divine intervention, if you will. Han Solo was meant to fall in with these characters.
Well, a huge part of any of that storytelling, if you're going to borrow from Greek or Roman mythology, is fate. You know, fate will draw you together. Everybody in Star, and this is so brilliant, what George Lucas did with this was everybody had their own hero's journey, and he worked them all into one movie with an ensemble cast, and in different ways.
Except for Chewbacca, and that's why he didn't get a medal.
Oh, poor Chewie.
Just realized that. Chewbacca didn't get a medal, not because Wookiees don't believe in that sort of thing, which was bull. I think that the reason he didn't get a medal is because at the end they're like, well, who all had a hero's journey, Your Highness? Well, Luke. The Wookiee didn't at all?
Yeah,
well, he can be there. He can stand at the front and yell.
I mean, even, you know, Ben Kenobi had his hero, well, he had his hero's journey early, but he was the guide, he was the sage.
He was also the guy who's getting too old for this.
Right.
Because he's like Danny Glover, except he had retired.
He really was the Tommy Lee Jones living in a shack in the woods.
Exactly. Wasn't for that meddling kid, I could have enjoyed my last days here in the arid wastes of Tatooine, which was actually good for his bronchitis.
Right. It's like,
really see,
it's recommend, like moving to Phoenix when you're retire.
I can see Ben as Murtaugh, but I don't see Luke as Riggs. I'm sorry.
No, certainly not. No, but Leia had a huge hero.
Luke is more like Bill Paxton in Aliens.
But which one?
Game over, man!
Fuck. God. What, even the little girl in Aliens had more spine than Luke did. Are you kidding me? Bill with the cat?
Well, Newt had more spine than Bill Paxton's character.
We were watching Dave today, the movie Dave with Kevin Kline.
Oh, wow.
At work, and Brittany and I were there, and Sigourney Weaver's in it.
Yeah.
And neither of us could look at Sigourney Weaver and not think anything but Ripley. We're like, oh, Ripley's in this. You can't divorce yourself from Ripley. But Leia had her own hero's journey, but I think the most interesting of the hero's journeys, because of what we discussed before, is Han Solo's, because it's less obvious than Luke's.
Exactly.
The story of redemption, the story of finding love and achieving your goals in Han Solo was much more poignant, I think. And
it's also an exploration in self-discovery.
Yeah.
Because Han Solo goes from, like you were saying, he's sort of the aimless drifter. He got into smuggling because it was something to do. And there's this energy about the character that's never tapped until he winds up someplace he never wanted to be, never expected to be. And there were the natural growing pains of finding yourself in that situation. And then there's that full-bore embracing. Oh, yeah, this is Han Solo. Rebel Alliance.
Right, right. Like
he had business cards ordered. Would you look at this? Solo wants business cards now.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever
again,
that
again.
Is.
Again with the Akbar.
I know, they're sort of like Jack Palance Akbar there. Jack! You!
Yeah, are you going to drop and start doing push-ups? Jack Palance would have been really good as one of the generals or admirals that Vader chokes out.
Oh, there you go.
I was thinking you were going to go as General Madine, where... You know, he was there with Mon Mothma and Akbar. Just
oh, no, I'm going Empire.
In.
I couldn't take him seriously.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. Oh, gosh.
I couldn't take him seriously otherwise.
I love that. I love that. Here's what I love about the Solo character, why he's my favorite in Saga, is you go, it plays along right there with your anti-hero's journey, Cole, that you're mentioning. You know, in the first movie, he's all about himself, obviously. He's selfish. I mean, to an extent, the one person he has allowed into his life would be Chewbacca. Yeah. And the backstory there I would love to know about. But he's so selfish. It's all about money. It's all about himself. He's just that typical rogue scoundrel, which we love. Now, by Empire, you see him starting to change where he's gotten to a point where he's able, I guess I should say, to sacrifice himself for his friends. So that in itself is a big step in his character. Then you get to Jedi, and he goes even further where he's allowed himself to open up his heart to another person, Leia, to where he's not self. I mean, what greater way to not be selfish than to put someone else first in your life and able to love him.
Well, absolutely. And what's wonderful about the character is he never loses his swagger.
No,
exactly.
Never.
Exactly. Exactly. Just
I mean,
because
he's still
he finds...
there, but we've opened up a whole new side of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just because he finds love doesn't mean he becomes whipped.
Well,
you're right about that.
His swagger is only greatened by Leia's presence. Like, yeah. Now he has a swagger foci. You know,
the thing that is, they literally, between the two of them, you just see this relationship that's going to be a lifelong swagger off.
It really is.
Because she's got a lot of swagger herself, uh-huh, and she's uh-huh. sure, she was throwing that all around the decks of the Death Star.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You know, she just about smothered Tarkin in swagger. And he was a frail old man.
You know, Cole, I mentioned before in a previous episode that one thing I would have thought could have been changed about the original trilogy would have been to add in another strong female character. But as you bring that up, I realize there's no room in the trilogy for another female character because Leia's swagger, you're right.
Yeah, she's in command.
Yes, she's one of those girls that other girls hate her and she hates other girls.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she would not have stood for any other female. If they were there to rescue two female characters, Luke would have arrived at her cell, and there would be the corpse of her cellmate smothered in a pillow. And it would be a whole different kind of movie.
And we're back to Apocalypse Now, where Leia's sitting there with another girl's head on a pike.
Well, no, the other girl would have wanted to stay. She wouldn't have been dead. She would have just wanted to stay in the cell and not go with Luke. Like, no, just I'll be fine here. Just take her.
Oh, I'll keep getting poked by that little weird proddy thing that Vader keeps bringing in.
I'm gonna leave that one alone.
Yeah,
because I got nugnots up to my nugnots.
No, I'm talking about that floating.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Interrogation droid. That's what he's calling it. I call it Steve.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. No. I identify probably more intimately with Han Solo than any other character in that universe, with the possible exception of Lando, you know, just the race thing. But
that's because you like yourself a good Colt 45.
I do. Can I say something kind of racist? Is that okay? It's not really racist, but it's true. The other thing that Brittany was saying was she was on the phone with me while she was watching Empire. And there's that scene where Luke makes it to Bespin, right? And he's in the Cloud City, and everybody's around, and freaking out, right? And he's hiding, and he's going from shadow to shadow, and finally he comes across the part with the procession, right? Where it's a bunch of stormtroopers, it's Han and Carbonite, and the floating contraption, the repulsor contraption, and then Boba Fett, followed by Lando. Now, if you watch, he only freaks out when Lando's there. Like, that's when he really kind of loses it. And and the reason being, and this is true from everything that we've been shown, this is absolutely true, okay? Lando is the first black person Luke Skywalker's ever seen in his life.
Oh, my gosh.
That's Brittany right there. Brittany was like, think back to everything.
Gosh.
Think back to the Mos Eisley Cantina. Think back to everywhere Luke has ever been up to that point.
If anyone was remotely human looking,
right,
they were white.
Right, they were white or alien.
Pretty much had to be decidedly alien in nature to be any other color.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden she sees that's why he was freaking out. Like, she's like, I'm not trying to be a racist here, but seriously, it's like the first time he saw a black guy and he's like 40 and he just, it's like, he's like, where have I, and he's wearing a blue silk outfit with a cape. Like, and he's like, no.
I like Brittany. You got to bring Brittany to hold.
I want her to be on this show. I'm trying to talk all of the, to get her on here. You guys need to have her on to talk about stuff. She's a huge Chewbacca fan.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
I will take this moment to bring something to light here that just occurred to me during the course of the show. We are now going to officially be doing spotlight shows like this.
Uh huh.
On single characters.
That's fine with me.
Every few episodes, we'll just toss a new one in.
Uh-huh.
And we will definitely have Brittany on the Chewbacca one.
Definitely. Right. Who are we going to have when we do the episode on the Ice Cream Maker Man? Who are we going to have for that one?
I think we're going to have to get everyone.
Everybody
that's going to have to be like a big
forum.
Everybody
needs to get their thoughts.
On his backstory.
Oh, yeah. Everybody will want to be on the Wilro Hood episode.
Oh, that's his name. That's right. Do you have that action figure, Cole?
You know I do.
Yes. Figured as much. Oh my gosh, that is so eye opening. Now I'm never going to be able to see that part of Empire again without thinking that.
Hey, right? Like, watch it. It's so like that's when he really kind of like you see Han and he's still okay, like for that split second he's like, all right, well, there's Han and Carbonite, there's my best friend, that's who I came here to save. All right, there he goes, and black guy, oh no, what is happening?
Oh my gosh.
You know, prior to that he'd never, you know, on Bespin he never got to meet unlike everybody else, he's the only one of the gang who didn't get to meet Lando, so he has no idea who this guy is.
It's funny that y'all bring this up, because I'm watching the I always have a Star Wars movie playing while we record. I'm watching the scene where Ben and Luke are heading through Mos Eisley to go meet up at the Millennium Falcon, and I'm watching the crowd, and you're right, there's no black people in the crowd.
Right.
That's wild.
There's no black people on the streets. There's...
Wow. There's maybe something. Maybe it has something to do with the. You think it has something to do with the dry air, the sand, and all that?
What?
Well, no. And not to be racist, but I have plenty of black friends, and my friends are always lotioning up because their skins get dry. Cole, you can edit this out later if you feel the need.
But you're in a cloud city.
I'm trying to decide.
I'm talking about Tatooine. I'm watching the Tatooine scene.
No. I mean, no. Okay, yeah. First of all, nobody in their right mind lives on Tatooine.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you have a choice, you know.
Uh huh.
But yeah, I think that's.
Oh my gosh, where are we going with this?
You brought me into this. You brought me on the show. Okay.
It sounded like a good idea at the time, but.
Go ahead, Cole. What were you
and
saying?
Now I'm going to wind up seeming like I'm going to being a complete ass when we have to let Andrew go. And it is not because of his...
No, it's because of time constraints. It's not because of...
He made a racist comment. He's got to go.
Right. You are so out of here, mister.
Well,
but in closing this portion of the show, any final... thoughts on the Han Solo
on the before Han Solo you have tip. To depart. You know,
again, not under duress or anything.
I really think, like we said before, we get to see, and I'm trying to think if there's a series of movies or a movie where we get to see the evolution of character come so full circle as it does in Han Solo and portrayed so brilliantly by a guy who was a carpenter at the time. You know, like the guy had serious acting chops that nobody knew he had. But to watch the evolution of character that happens over these three films was amazing for me. I think it informed a lot of what I look to in media and literature as far as a strong true male lead character. You know, like somebody that I gravitate to. That's the kind of character it is, and I think it's a testament to Harrison Ford, to George Lucas, and to everyone that was involved for creating this ensemble cast with so many strong characters, and then one character in it who was really kind of a I'm not going to say a bit player in the beginning, but like Cole said, I mean he was you know Travis Bickle up until he wasn't, and and that was amazing to watch happen. So I definitely identify way more with Han Solo.
Yeah, he's that undiscovered gem that you don't realize is a gem until later in the movie.
Right.
He's definitely not a bit player. And that's what I love. You know, anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan. But that's what I love so much about Raiders, because Han Solo, I was so, enamored with the character of Han Solo in A New Hope. So a few years later, when we all of a sudden get Raiders of the Lost Ark, and all of a sudden it's like Han Solo's front and center, and that's why I think I love that movie so much. Because
by the way,
over,
as the last thing I'll say, Eddie, I'm working on what I'm calling mundane cosplay for AllCon this year, and where I don't actually have to have an actual costume. One of the ones I'm working on is Professor Jones. Because I've never seen anybody do
nice
Professor Jones. I've seen Indiana Jones. I've seen Whip and you know Fedora and that whole thing. But I've never seen anybody dress up as Professor Jones from the classroom with the glasses and the hair down and the tweed jacket. So, all right. Yeah, on that note,
or the cardigan.
We're going to have to get a girl to write love you on her eyelids and follow you around.
And blink their eyes real fast at me.
Yeah.
I'm sure that can be arranged. She's probably going to be way too young or way too old, one of the two. So, ladies, you know my demographic. Let's knock that out.
Andy, I know you got to go, but seriously, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Anybody, oh, man, it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Anybody who knows me knows I'm a podcast fiend. I love listening to podcasts, like, day in and day out. I'm constantly listening to them. I kid not when I say that these two guys are my all-time favorites. So if I did not say much in this episode, it's only because when I'm hearing Cole and Andy talking, I immediately become an audience member again. It's like I'm listening to Hey Kids Comics.
No, you guys, so, I couldn't be happier to be
you
here.
Forgot you were actually on this one.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't be more proud to be here. You guys are putting together a hell of a show, and thank you for having me on, and I am a fan. I'm definitely a fan, so... with that being said, I don't know how much longer you guys are going to go, but don't tell me the odds. Shaboing boing! Never
nice.
Tell me the odds. Hey, Eddie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go now, but I'm going to leave with this. You need to tell me you love me. Tell me you love me, Eddie.
I love you, Andy.
I know. And I'm out!
Oh, he's out of here. Thank you again. We're going to continue talking about Han Solo for a little longer here because we can't get enough of Han Solo. We can't get enough of Star Wars. We can't get enough of a lot of stuff here, as you know.
Uh-huh.
That was, of course, Andrew Farmer, the brilliant creator of Hey Kids Comics.
And I cannot stress this enough. Go do yourself a favor if you're a podcast listener. Go and find every episode that Andy has ever been on and listen to it, because guy is amazing. How he has not written a book yet on anything geekdom that he feels the need to write on is beyond me.
I think that if Andy wrote a book, I would definitely be reading it, because it's bound to be chock-a-block full of insights and fun stuff. And what's amazing is, you know, Andy got his start, at least with this bunch of characters I've been hanging out with all these years, solely by bothering to post some pictures of his Green Lantern collection on Facebook.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Look at my Green Lantern collection.com or something like that.
Check out mylantern.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Which has now been taken over by a porno site, but that's okay.
that one was, yes. But they still have Hattie's pictures there. Go see. Not the ones that we saw initially. The thing about it is, you know, this like falls in front of Rick Gutierrez, who was doing Amazing Comic Cast at the time, falls in front of his eyes. And we're doing let's do an episode on Green Lantern. And let's get this guy. He's got Green Lantern stuff. So,
which, by the way, Rick is another one of my all-time favorite podcasters.
Yeah, we'll be mentioning all of the various places you can find stuff like this. But the thing about it is, and we'll try to get back to Han Solo here in a second. But if there's anybody
we're talking about Andy Solo right now.
That's right. If there's anybody cooler than Han Solo, it's got to be Andy.
Uh-huh,
got to be definitely. Andy Farmer, because he's just insanely cool.
He's the Han Solo of the podcasting.
He really is the Han Solo. He started out as the reluctant hired hand, and now he's like a full general. So
yeah, the undiscovered gem.
Exactly.
Chances
of like somebody at random, you know, oh look, this guy's got some Green Lantern stuff. So, you know, what you would probably anticipate is you get this guy, you know, coming on like, yeah, I like Green Lantern, and he'd talk a little bit about Green Lantern, and that'd be the end of it. And that's really which would be fine. You know, unless you just found somebody who was incredibly droll and drug the whole production down. But to find somebody who was not only engaging, but was like such a perfect fit to the dynamic we'd already established by then on that show.
Yeah.
And add to that the willingness to continue to pursue this.
Yeah.
This shameless, you know, this creative pursuit that makes you no money whatsoever, but you can't, in a way, pays better than any job any of us have ever had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what are the chances of that happening? And then, you know, all these years later, here we have Andy coming on and helping us rethink Han Solo and Lando and
And Luke's reaction to Lando.
And finding analogs in other movies that are certainly as anything I ever conjure up when we're talking comics.
That's something we tend to do is the mashups between Star Wars and other things. And it's nice to know that Andy is strong in the Force when it comes to that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So, you know, the character of Han Solo was not only, it seems like, why didn't we think of doing this before?
Yeah.
But Andrew and I get talking about this, and he's talking about that conversation about Han Solo not having a vested interest in the Alliance, not really being a part of what Luke was anxious to be a part of. Luke and Han were opposite sides of the same coin because neither of them were necessarily part of Leia's struggle.
Yeah.
You know, Luke doesn't love the Empire. Or he hates it, but there's nothing he can do about it right now.
Sure, sure.
I don't know why he turned into William Shatner. There's nothing I can do about it right now.
I just want to go to Tashi Station.
That's right.
And get some power converters.
Power converters.
We have to invoke Captain Kirk.
Fuck.
I have to invoke Captain Kirk considering the title of the show.
Well, that's true. We do. We do need to give Captain Kirk some cool props there as well. But, you know, ultimately they are literally two sides of the same coin that are both kind of thrown into the big bag of coins that were part of the rebellion.
Just real quick, and that's another thing about it. You're right, Luke, his stance on the Empire, obviously, that he hates it. But Han is just, he's lying low. Okay, the Empire's running the show. I get it. I'm going to, you know, just lie low. I'm going to take my piece of the pie and go about doing my thing. And that goes back to him, his journey from being selfish to, okay, these are these other people I've let into my life. I care about them. I'm willing to put my life on the line for them.
Absolutely. It's the journey from selfishness to selflessness.
There you go. It's been a long day. I was trying to nail it. You always nail it.
I always know just what you're trying to say, Eddie.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and that's an interesting thing because you were talking about how you would love to see, you know, how did Han and Chewie ever hook up? How does that dynamic happen?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd really like to think that at one point Han was a different person than the Han Solo you meet at Mos Eisley. And through a series of events, he doesn't become, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm Anakin Skywalker and I'm young and enthusiastic and I want to be a Jedi, and then inexplicably I turn into an idiot. And I turn into a 13-year-old. And I am angry and I don't even know why. And
yeah.
And or you know, even the traditional, you know, the turning of the good man into the villain. This is more of a natural story where a good man doesn't become evil, he becomes indifferent. And I think that's the key word there, is in a lot of ways, Han Solo isn't even so much selfish as indifferent.
That's true. That's a good point.
He's driven by just, you know, making it from day to day.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's not, he doesn't have a vested interest in the rebellion, but he doesn't really have a vested interest in much of anything but just making it one day to the next.
Exactly.
And I like to think that at one point he was a good man who got sort of driven out of that to the point where he just sort of gave up. Didn't so much become evil, but he did go bad.
Yeah, yeah. But,
you know, it was just as well to be a criminal, be a smuggler, look out for number one. And that kind of origin allows for a Chewbacca in his life. It allows for him to have strong friendships like he has with Lando, where you're more likely to help each other out in a bind, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to pick your pocket while you're sleeping if I need to get out in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's that sort of honor among thieves kind of friendship going on there that then in its own way grows to something better. But, you know, in when you brought that up, that's the first thing I thought of, was I like to think that it was a progression, that falling in with Luke and Leia and Ben and the whole gang and getting involved and finding a cause and a purpose brought back the Han Solo that he'd forgotten.
The man he once was, exactly.
Yeah. And but he kept the swagger, and that's what's important.
Exactly. You got to keep the swagger. That needs to be a cologne. Han Solo, swagger.
Swagger.
But that's the one thing I've always been kind of obsessed about is where, how him and Chewie met. Obviously, there's a life debt there. Where they met, what was that
say?
Where's the story? What was the story there? Why is it that this man who seems to care about no one obviously has a big heart for this big Wookiee. And you're right. That's probably, it was the man he was before, the man he forgot he was, you know, the scoundrel with a heart. Because, and that's what's interesting about A New Hope. I distinctly remember this early on where you see Chewbacca, and because of his appearance, and no, I'm not going to go the way of Sasquatch, Cole, don't worry, but because of his appearance, in your mind, in my young mind, I placed Chewbacca more as like a pet to Han Solo. But what's so weird is as they go along, and it starts to develop as they're going through the Death Star, through what I like to call the Die Hard moment, where they're trapped in the Death Star, you start to see this is not his pet. This is his friend. This is his companion. This is the guy he's relying on to watch his back. And as you get to the end of New Hope, you realize Chewbacca is just as much a, quote, person as these other people are. And you see that continue to build and grow to where in Jedi, when that's a great moment in Return of the Jedi where Han Solo and Chewbacca are reunited, where you see that that best friends moment, you know, between the two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've talked earlier in an earlier episode about a couple of scenes where that always gets me, like that emotional, you know, ding that gets me in the movie. That's one of the moments is where him and Chewie reunite in the cell at Jabba's palace. That gets me every time.
Well, and also you bring up a very good point about their relationship, because that relationship is underscored in wonderfully subtle ways.
Yes.
When they're on Hoth and Han comes up and Chewie's there working on the Falcon, and he's fussing at him.
Uh-huh.
Like, why don't you take this apart? I'm trying to get us out of here. And you get, just in that little exchange, you get this feeling like, you know, they're so accustomed to being on the same page in everything.
Uh-huh.
They're like a married couple.
Yes.
There's this exasperation in those moments when you're not on the same page. Like, you know, I thought we both knew. You know, I shouldn't have to say we're leaving.
Yeah,
that's implicit.
Exactly. We could finish each other's growls and grunts.
Exactly.
I like that. And
sorry, like,
go ahead.
When the Luke, the exchange of Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie in the medical bay.
Yes.
And you get that wonderful little, you know, Chewie just kind of poking at the sore spot.
Yeah, kind of chuckles at him.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, giving it a little sideways. Yeah, you know, you had it coming.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, it's all, you're right, it's all the little moments. It's the little moments like when you realize Han is out there in the Hoth, in the elements, and they had no choice but to lock the doors for the night, and then Chewie gives that painful, well, like, I may never see my best friend again. That, you know, that pain in that well is a good moment, too. It's a powerful moment.
Yeah, because you also get this feeling with him, you know, I don't even like humans. No. You get this sort of, and I'm saying this completely tongue-in-cheek with a kind of a history of the world vibe there. It's like, you're the first white person I even considered liking. You're the first human I even considered liking.
Oh, gosh. I like how we keep evoking race in this episode.
I thought I'd keep the theme going since you guys are Already jumped into the middle of that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, good night.
That's what this is all about, is taking... This is the kind of an exercise in what Andy and I do so well, because we've been doing it for nearly 75 episodes to date.
Y'all are old married couple.
We finishing
each other's grunts and growls.
We do indeed. And that's to, you know, look at something that's so familiar that it's always on your mind, and find things there you didn't realize, you know, were always there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you suddenly discover a whole new way of thinking about this. And that's why I'm very fortunate that when I finally got my wits about me on this show, that I realized, rather than pursuing my original plan, which was to have and I've said this, of course, before, I suddenly, you know, got wise and realized that I can capture that same sort of dynamic again. Mm-hmm. And that certainly has been borne out in just the very few episodes, relatively speaking, that we've done here so far.
Eddie
was the obvious Chewbacca to my Han Solo.
Thank you. That's because I don't shave that often, so thank you for that. Yeah, that is kind of that's
I don't
a weird
with
visual.
A beard. I have more facial hair.
I know. That is kind
on
of a weird visual.
On your first day, you have less facial hair than I have on my best.
That is a weird visual, because not only are you the hairier of the two of us, but you're also the taller.
Yeah,
of the
that's
two.
Only the taller that I call off. That's because we're mixing it up on this show. We're going to take our metaphors and mix them up, and, you know, the reality and the metaphor, they're not necessarily mesh.
I just figured it's because when it comes to commenting on certain things, your comments make sense. It's what we can understand. My comments
are
like...
I have to translate yours.
Yeah, like, yeah. My comments don't make much sense. It's like, what is he grunting and growling over there? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's like you were earlier. It was like... yes, selflessness to selflessness.
Yeah. Oh, good night. Good night. But yeah, I mean, the just to kind of my closing thoughts on the Han Solo character, I go back to, I think I probably said it on an earlier show, is there was a reason why on the playground, we'd all get together, all the kids at recess and would want to play Star Wars. That's why I always had to be Han Solo, because nobody, in my mind, there was nobody cooler in the world than Han Solo.
Oh, of course not. No.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be Han Solo?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, on top of that, it's like, okay, the two fictional characters that in my youth I would most want to emulate, or certainly have their, you know, have their wardrobe kind of to invoke the Werewolves of London, I would love to meet their tailor, was Han Solo and the Fonz.
Okay.
Because really, you know, Fonzie is ultimately, Arthur Fonzarelli is ultimately like the Han Solo of Earth.
I can see that. I could definitely see that. Because I could definitely see Richie as Luke Skywalker.
Exactly. I mean, really, that's perhaps Happy Days was just a Star Wars ripoff. I'm not really sure of the chronology there. But
no, it goes the other way around. But, oh, my gosh, and there's your connection to American Graffiti. You have...
Oh, there you go.
You have both of them in American Graffiti. In different ways. You have Han Solo Bob.
American Graffiti inspires Happy Days.
Uh-huh.
And subsequently, Happy Days inspires Star Wars.
And then we come full circle with Harrison Ford being in both.
Exactly. American Graffiti. So it was little wonder that it worked out that way.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. That's funny. Instead of the Millennium Falcon, he had his Ford.
But yeah, I remember like in 76 that until Han Solo came along and pushed the Fonz out,
uh-huh.
I mean, to me, nothing would have been cooler than to have a leather jacket. And now, you know, at 48, I have a really nice leather jacket. And it's not as exciting as it was at 11.
And I guess that shows...
It doesn't... It's a nice jacket, don't get me wrong. It's very nice in these cold days, and I'm really happy to have it. But I don't have to... It doesn't ooze cool in an old guy.
I just got a visual. I just got give me a second here. I just got a visual of you wearing the leather jacket with the white T-shirt, and here comes Catherine pulling up from work, getting home from work, and you're leaning against your car, and as she's walking by, you're like, "Hey," with a thumbs up.
I don't know if you were having like this visual of me in the morning, and like I walk into the mirror, and like, no, I don't need to comb it. Mainly because I won't bother. It's not that I'm so cool that my hair is perfect.
Yeah.
Another Werewolves of London. His hair is perfect.
Well, your thing was Fonzie and progressing to Han Solo. My thing in showing our age difference, which isn't but a few years. Mine was
It's vast as the mighty desert.
Mine goes from Han Solo, being Han Solo, to wanting to be Indiana Jones. So there you go.
See, that's again, but you're progressing cool to cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's basically an even plane there. It's like little. There's like this the slightest, you know. It's the inevitable next phase.
Yeah. And then from Indiana Jones, my progression would have been I wanted to be John McClane from Die Hard. So again, you're going from cool to cool to cool.
Okay, I'll let you have that one. You know, by then I'd pretty much, you know, if the leather jacket is any indication, I'd pretty much given up on emulating anybody. You know, I think that for me the next inevitable phase was Kevin Smith. And that's who I want to play me in the movie.
Oh, okay.
I just want endless footage of Kevin Smith you know, sitting in front of a computer and talking into a microphone. That's a movie.
Well, if we have to invoke view askew, I would want to be Randall in Clerks, for sure.
That would work.
Yeah, but I usually come off as being Dante, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm sort of like the drug-free Silent Bob.
Oh, please. Please, you're definitely the drug-free Jay. Because you're nonstop.
I'm probably more like Jay and Silent Bob combined.
Combined. Okay, you're definitely, we're going way off topic, but oh well. You're definitely
Silent Bob. That never happens.
Yeah, you're definitely Silent Bob when Silent Bob chimes in with the words of wisdom in every movie.
But the rest of the time I'm Jay because I won't shut the hell up.
Oh,
so the only time I'm Silent Bob is the times when he would speak anyway, so.
I know. That, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, on the touching finally on Han Solo. Absolutely. Like you say, that's the character you just gravitated towards. Especially from A New Hope, because he was so cool. And this will be kind of a little teaser into our next episode. Because this is going to be I'm going to tell a story on myself at the beginning of the next episode that is very much going to be the perfect introduction, the perfect autobiographical introduction into our topic on the next show. But Han Solo, one of the other things that came out of me seeing Star Wars was I became a very much a budding wannabe filmmaker.
Yeah.
And apparently the film that I wanted to make was Star Wars. Like everybody. Because every comic, every film I did was a blatant plagiaristic ripoff of Star Wars with five original elements in anything I did, but there were like, for every five original elements, there were like 1,000 things taken from something else. And you'll just have to wait till the next show to find out about Star Worlds.
You will not want to miss this one. I have gotten just
Eddie got a little bit of a preview of
a taste, and I said, please stop telling me anymore, because I want to hear this for the first time on the episode.
So we will, next time, we're going to be doing an episode titled Me Too.
Uh-huh.
For one of the first times ever, we're actually going to bother to tell you what's next. We were flip-flopping between we're going to record Me Too and then we're going to record this one. It just depended on who was available. Andy was down for recording, so we just jumped on it while we could.
Uh-huh.
And so tune in next time to find out what that's all about, because it's if my filmmaking aspirations are any indication, it's going to be pretty much everybody else who wanted to ride those big coattails from Star Wars.
Yeah, Me Too being basically the Clone Wars in that everybody wanted to clone Star Wars.
Exactly, because they saw a hit and thought, hey, that works, that's a money, that's where the money is.
Yeah.
So, we have really done Han Solo justice.
Mm-hmm.
My apologies to any of our crossover fans who are Star Wars and Star Trek fans. I am one of you.
So, as am I. As am I.
Yeah, okay, I didn't want to speak for you there, buddy.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I use the title solely because I love the line, and if you've seen the movie, or if you haven't, do see the movie, because when you see what the delivery of that line is all about, Han Solo is cooler than Captain Kirk, you will feel justified in me using this, because Star Trek has an amazingly staunch defender when confronted with that line.
Yeah, to go on record, I got deeply into Star Trek with The Next Generation, and it was I can thank my wife Colleen for getting me for helping me develop a love for the original series, because it was because of her being obsessed with the original series I learned to love it too, and it's amazing.
So yeah, again, to go back to Pulp Fiction, it's sort of like Jules Winfield. You know, my wife's into Star Trek, so that pretty much means I'm into Star Trek too.
Nice.
So with that, I will thank our wonderful guest, Andrew Farmer from Hey Kids Comics, United States of Geekdom. If you want to find out about the United States of Geekdom, visit unitedstatesofgeekdom.com, where you can find Andrew and myself, Rick Gutierrez and Mrs. Jedi Cole, and a bewildering assortment of guests over various episodes, talking about all kinds of geeky, fun, cool pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm. I got the opportunity to join y'all for the Bat Month, and that was amazing.
Oh, that was something else. And the Bat Month was a labor of love on Rick's part, and it really delivered.
Forever grateful to Rick for pulling me in for that run. Thank you, Rick.
And of course, thank you to Eddie, the Chewbacca, Lando, Han Solo, the entire cast and crew to my Star Wars. And thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with some more simple tricks and nonsense. And in the meantime, we will leave you with a few more plugs here real quick. Eddie, where else can we find you?
As usual, eddiemedina.com, or find me on Facebook. I'll make it nice and quick.
All right. And, of course, you're listening to us courtesy of the Jedi Cole Universe at jedicole.com. And you can find out about all kinds of great conventions all over Texas, including ones where you can find myself or Eddie or any number of the crazy characters who you've heard on the JCU showing up all over the place at Convention Awareness Project Texas, which is conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com. And again, we will see you in about 2 weeks with more simple tricks and nonsense.
And we'll leave you with nothing, since we have no line to leave you with. We'll just leave you with, we have Ugnaughts.
I was trying to do, that was going to be my tagline.
Oh, you want to do it? We have Ugnaughts of the, what did you say, Lugnaughts? I just ruined it. Sorry.
Oh, that could be our new tagline, yeah.
I just put it in, sorry.
Ugnaughts up to my Lugnaughts?
Lugnaughts, that's it. Ugnaughts up to my Lugnaughts. Good night, guys.